Welcome to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. On each and every episode, Brian talks with coaches, athletes, and performers in all arenas who are putting into practice the principles of peak performance that will help you close the gap from where you are to where you want to be, to help you become a master of the mental game, and to help you start dominating the day.
This is Brian Kane here with Kyla Holis, head softball coach at the University of Houston. And Kyla, thank you for taking time to sit down with us today and talk a little bit about the mental aspects of coaching and the mental game of softball. For the listeners, could you give us a little bit of your background as a former three-time All-American player yourself and now head coach at one of the premier programs in the country and kind of how you got to where you are today as the head coach at the University of Houston?
I played softball whenever I was younger. My mom was actually a pitcher in the game and taught me how to pitch, and luckily enough just caught on, and then it worked out for me. I had a few good coaches along the way who just really saw in me and believed in me. Some of the things that they knew they could work with, and was very lucky and fortunate along the way, and ended up getting recruited in a scholarship to Louisiana Lafayette. Played 4 years there in softball. Yvette Gerard, who was the head coach at LSU, and Pat Murphy, obviously the head coach at Alabama, were my head and assistant coach. So at the time, had no idea I was playing for such Hall of Famers, but was, you know, clearly in our success that we had as a team and a program, you know, that was definitely a byproduct of their future to come. Then my first job, as soon as my junior year, tried out for the Olympic team, was an alternate, did all of that, and we were playing overseas, meet Donna Martin, who was the first head coach, second head coach there after Dee Abrahamson. She had taken over and said, "Hey, I need a pitching coach. Will you come up and be our restricted earning coach?" At the time, no clue about it, just didn't even know if that's what I wanted to do with life, but pitching was one of those things I just had a passion about and got into it. And January 1, I graduated in December, showed up with my bags and DeKalb, Illinois, and set myself off on my coaching career. Spent 2 seasons with them, Florida.
Northern Illinois.
Florida then opened up. The SEC, all of SEC softball actually started in 96, and Larry Ray got the first job at University of Florida and hired me as a pitching coach there. Went on to do 3.5 seasons there until Houston actually opened up and started the program here, and ended up starting this program, and the rest is history.
So 1999? First year at Houston?
99 was when I got hired. 2001 was our first actual playing season.
And since 2001, 3 Conference USA championships, 2 super regional berths, and soon to be knocking down the door to get into Oklahoma City in the College World Series.
I hope so, yes.
Yeah. And Kyla, one of the things that I've been most impressed with just in your program is the team building stuff that you do. You know, you have a handbook and a system for, you know, team building and really getting players to buy into a system of something that's bigger than themselves. What are some ways that you do that? How do you get players to buy into that team mentality?
You know, each year we sit down as a staff and kind of evaluate where we are, what we have, what we need, what we think's coming in, what are some of the potential issues or things that we see that they did good or bad that we need to build on. And we come up with a theme, a direction, and kind of a plan throughout the year of how we're going to attack it. We have done, I think, almost everything you can imagine. I'm sure there's a lot of other ones out there that, you know, we some of the best ideas, I think, are the ones that you steal sometimes. But, you know, we have really been open to any and every idea out there and just kind of really looked into it and took in our time and found some of the things that worked for us. We've done, one was our theories, you know, if you only had anything left, one chance, what's the one thing you would do over, live, love, you know, just that mentality of, you know, what we now do with one pitch of just, you know, if there's only one of anything, how much would you do for it and where would you go? Just kind of that sacrifice all in mentality. We've even done, you know, Cinderella in the glass slipper. I mean, as simple as a kid's story, and just, you know, sometimes wishes do come true, and sometimes it is the right fit. And, you know, there is no theme or idea that's off limits for us. And we just really kind of, the inspiration hits sometimes in the weirdest areas and we just go with it.
Of all the teams that you've coached, had, you know, 2 that have been a game away from the College World Series, and yourself played on a team in 1993 that went to the College World Series and finished third. Of the championship teams that you've played on and that you've coached, do they have defining characteristics that separate them from the teams that maybe don't make it that far, other than just physical talent?
Team chemistry, without a doubt. I was lucky enough to play for a program that, at the height of our career, I mean, we had 6 All-Americans playing on the field. And that year's team, even though we were 2 in the country going into the final game at regionals, we did not make it to the College World Series versus the team the previous year who, I think at the time, we had 3 All-Americans and ended up going to the College World Series. The talent, it matters. You definitely have to be able to play the game. But the chemistry and the bonding and that team work together, it makes a difference, and it really does rise some of those teams that, talent-wise, you might not be as talented, but you can definitely achieve things when all of you are working in a direction way more than if it's just 1, 2, 3, or 6.
Is that, you know, I think sometimes athletes make the mistake of, you know, trying to be first team instead of being team first and putting the team over themselves. What are some of the characteristics for the athletes listening to this that you've seen that make a great teammate?
You know, I do think every day remembering that the name on the front matters more than the name on the back, that kind of sacrifice and awareness that, you know, we even talk about now of leaving a place better than you found it, hard work, you know, that every day you've done what everyone else on your, you've uphold the standard every single day that's built there, not only from the people who came before you and the tradition that they've put in, but even the legacy that you want to leave afterwards. I think that's one of the things that really, when you buy into that concept of what that name, that program stands for, those core values, and then you go about it every day and uphold it, I think that's what makes your job a lot easier, because you just realize you're a part of something that is so much bigger than you, that when you walk away, it has a lasting effect on your life. Even not only in the friends and the teammates that you've created, or the coaches or people that you've went on to know and who influenced you and that kind of stuff, but just in your approach to life. You know, when you get up, are you disciplined in your job? You know, are you the person that, I'm sick today, I'm not going to go in, or do you go in even when you are sick because you got a job to do? Do you show up early or do you show up late? You know, those are some of the things that, when that name on the front matters and what you see, you know, when you're in a business meeting, are you sitting in the front or are you sitting in the back? You know, it's those things that seem so trivial at the time. Your office, is it clean and organized or is it a mess and you got to find stuff? You know, how you present yourself every day with that name on the front in mind just really changes the rest of your life when you buy into it.
Something as simple as, you know, we've talked about this a bunch, where Coach Chip Kelly at Oregon used to talk about the importance of just making your bed in the morning and starting your day with discipline and acting different than how you feel and taking one step towards excellence, you know, of like having a clean office, you know. And I think many times, you know, athletes or coaches will take for granted the attention to those little things. And it's little things every day that you do that I think create those habits to make you successful. What were some of the habits that you had when you were a player, things that maybe you would do or things that you even do now as a coach that you think keep you kind of, you know, with that sharp edge and moving forward in the right direction?
I think a few things. First one for me was, you know, the biggest compliment you could ever give me was that I was the hardest worker every day. You know, I really bought into, coming from a middle-class divorced family, you know, only child, you know, approval of my parents and wanting to do right and all of those things just really was something that was big for me. I felt like I had a lot of shoes to fill. And every day showing up with and leaving with the dirtiest uniform and getting my work done, you know, doing more than everyone else, that was a personal sense of pride for me that really I felt separated me from everyone else. Not only because I was a leader and a captain, and team-wise, statistics-wise, you know, obviously being an All-American, you know, people look at you of the standard. If you're going to have that title, there are some things that requirements, job requirements that come with it. And I think hard work, if you have that, it just helps your credibility. And if somebody else is struggling, you can really help them along. And the next one I would say is details. You know, little things matter to me. There is no little thing, quite honestly, to me. You know, all of, whether it is making your bed or, you know, how you present yourself, do you tuck your shirt in, you know, is business Are you dressed business-wise or are you dressed casual-wise? You know, all of those things go into how you are even on the field. You know, from that one step to that one hand position, those little things, who you are when nobody's looking really, really separates and makes a difference in how far you're going to go in life. Because that's the time when it usually separates the good from the great. When nobody's looking, are you the kid that goes home and sits in front of the TV and says, I'll do it tomorrow? Or are you the kid that says, I'm going to go do it right now, and then I'll get to whatever else I got to do? You know, that private time of who you are as a person and an athlete, I think really separates good from great.
If we could shift gears a little bit and talk more maybe of the mental game, what would you say is the mental game? How would you describe the mental game? What does it mean to you?
I think the mental game for me takes it so much out of outcomes and puts it so much into input. You know, and as a pitcher, I think, you know, as a former pitcher, I wish I was still a pitcher, but as a former pitcher, you know, you're the one who has a win-loss column. They don't put the shortstop with a win-loss column. You know, pitchers get win-loss columns. They get ERAs. You know, you get a circle drawn around you, and you make a pitch every single time. You're the one with the ball in your hand. So that alone comes with such a heightened sense of awareness and sense of responsibility that when you have a routine and you can really put it into, I'm just going to put it into everything that I'm doing today instead of all of my self-worth and my confidence and all those other things are tied to my outcomes. I think that mental game really gives you a level playing ground. You know, it doesn't let your head run away from you on either end. It really just kind of keeps you centered, keeps you focused, and keeps you working.
What are some of the skills in the mental game, whether it's a more competitive process-based practice, a categories for success going into a game, a routine, a breath, a release, a verbal of so what, get to the next pitch. What would you say are some of the fundamental skills that you try to employ and teach in your mental conditioning or mental toughness program?
You know, it does change each year. I would say the things that don't change that are constants no matter what are routines and breaths and releases. That to me is a fundamental skill that every single player has to have, get it right, buy into it, understand it, and utilize it every day. From there, you know, whether this team is motivated by the categories of success or they're motivated by some of the other things where the process-based scrimmages or, you know, the quality, we have a quality cut sheet. What each team, we've kind of said, what is this team motivated by? We really kind of evaluate them and say, ooh, they respond to this. Some respond to more competition. Some respond to just more quality. You know what I mean? So you really have to kind of judge each team on a team-by-team, and sometimes even semester-by-semester basis. Those dynamics can change. But for us, routines, releases, breaths, never change. Standard of the game, have to do it. All the greats do it and do it well and use it with a purpose. The other stuff is just kind of where you find your niche of what's going to really get that team moving in the direction you want them to move in.
Talk a little bit about just the mentality of you know, I hear it all the time, play against yourself in the game. We're our toughest opponents. What does that mean?
You know, as somebody, like I said, who every single day I had the ball in my hand, that's where I think it can, and I did hit in the lineup, and not all the pitchers do, but, you know, to see it on both sides and to realize that at some point it feels like you're winning or losing the ball game at any moment, that can be really overwhelming and daunting for some people. And I think with the mental game and the way that it's done and used properly, and when you're really staying consistent in those thoughts and in your focus and your confidence level, whenever you can keep all of that other stuff and those voices kind of at bay inside of you, you really can find, you know, that inner team member, that one voice inside that says, I got this, you know, and that makes it and keeps the game fun, you know, keeps it all of those great things that, you know, you tell those kids, hey, write the 100 things down that you love about this game, and they'll write for days. You know, it's really easy to sit down and think about all the things you love. But when you're out there playing and you're maybe not being successful, it's really hard to think of those things. And when you have that routine and that other stuff that kind of binds your confidence together and keeps you in that same spot, it really allows the game to just be fun, whether you're winning or losing, because it doesn't let those outcomes change how hard you work and what you love about it, which always isn't the winning. The winning's nice. The winning takes care of itself a lot of times, but those other things are the things that change your life forever.
Got more questions. Appreciate your time here. The young coaches, you're a young assistant coach right out of college. We're a young head coach taking over a program. What advice do you have for younger coaches who are just kind of getting in the game, whether coming from being a player or being a coach now, or maybe the better question is, what do you know now, having been a head coach for over 10 years, that you wish you knew when you were just getting started?
One, I would say ask more questions, definitely. You know, I thought there was only one way to do something, and each job I learned something new and something new. And even now, you know, I love going to hear people speak or read books or, you know, find something new on the web. Being a student of the game, it's real easy to say, oh, I know it, I've gotten here, I'm done. Instead of, if you're ever at that spot where you think you're done, then really you might be done. Just constantly striving for more knowledge, more information, because not only as we grow, this game grows and it evolves and it changes as fast as we can blink our eye. There's something new about it or a different aspect, or, you know, even these kids, how they're brought up and grown. The game really is changing. The second thing I would say is find a mentor. You know, that was something I think it took me way too long in my life to find someone who says, I'm here when you need help, bounce ideas off. I can relate. I can talk you through it. Or even sometimes I can just listen, you know, just having not only one, but multiple ones who've been in different aspects, different things that you can really call on when you have some situations, because this job can be very difficult sometimes. And it can sometimes take a lot more from you than you feel like it gives sometimes. And when you have those other people to just say, you're all right, I've been there, I've done those things, I would say those are the two things that if I could pass on, I would.
Ask more questions, find a mentor. Excellent. Kyla, last question. If you could plant one seed, and you may have just answered it, but if you could plant one seed into the mind of people listening to this audio just about success, and that seed would germinate, and that coach or that player or that person listening to this would then go be more successful, what's that one seed that you would plant in their head to help them get to that next level?
I would think the one thing that's got me as far in life as I've gone would be confidence is a choice. Every day, choosing to see, do, act, be a confident person, who might not always get it right. Confidence doesn't mean you're always right. It just means that you know that even if it's not right, you're going to work hard to learn it, get better, and move forward instead of just being sick. Confidence to me is the one thing that if I could pass on to everyone, if I could just give it to them, show them how to hold on to it and not lose it, and just what it truly means to have it, and how you're going to have bad days. It doesn't excuse you from that, but that bend but don't break mentality. You know, confidence would be it.
Awesome. Kyla, I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to sit down and chat with us here. Thank you very much.
I've gotten here, I'm done. Instead of, if you're ever at that spot where you think you're done, then really you might be done. Just constantly striving for more knowledge, more information, because not only as we grow, this game grows and it evolves and it changes as fast as we can blink our eye. There's something new about it or a different aspect, or, you know, even these kids, how they're brought up and grown, the game really is changing. The second thing I would say is find a mentor. You know, that was something I think it took me way too long in my life to find someone who says, I'm here when you need help. Bounce ideas off. I can relate. I can talk you through it, or even sometimes I can just listen. You know, just having not only one, but multiple ones who've been in different aspects, different things that you can really call on when you have some situations, because this job can be very difficult sometimes, and it can sometimes take a lot more from you than you feel like it gives sometimes. And when you have those other people to just say, you're all right, I've been there, I've done those things, I would say those are the two things that if I could pass on, I would.
Ask more questions, find a mentor. Excellent. Kyla, last question. If you could plant one seed, and you may have just answered it, but if you could plant one seed into the mind of people listening to this audio just about success, and that seed would germinate, and that coach or that player or that person listening to this would then go be more successful, what's that one seed that you would plant in their head to help them get to that next level?
I would think the one thing that's got me as far in life as I've gone would be confidence is a choice. Every day, choosing to see, do, act, be a confident person, who might not always get it right. Confidence doesn't mean you're always right. It just means that you know that even if it's not right, you're going to work hard to learn it, get better, and move forward instead of just being sick. Confidence to me is the one thing that if I could pass on to everyone, if I could just give it to them, show them how to hold on to it and not lose it, and just what it truly means to have it, and how you're going to have bad days. It doesn't excuse you from that, but that bend but don't break mentality. You know, confidence would be it.
Awesome. Kyla, I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to sit down and chat with us here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. Please make sure that you visit briankane.com. That's briankane.com. And sign up for my Monday message, where every Monday I deliver straight to your inbox videos, interviews, articles, tips, techniques, and strategies that you can use to master the mental game. You can also contact me through my website on our Contact Us page and see my calendar of where I'm going to be in the country and when I'm coming to your area, so that we can get together and that we can continue to go out there and dominate the day.
The Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast is part of the Top Coach Network. This is a production of Corn Belt Sports.